Without further ado, my man, Justin Lindsay. Give him a big hand.
I'm waiting for Zane to hurry up. I was getting thirsty. I got my water up here. I can't be faster than that. Okay. So let's get rolling. Before we get into the teaching, I want to stop and pray for a second. You know, it don't matter if you're fasting, it don't matter if you're running, it don't matter if you're sitting. It doesn't matter what we do in this life. If God's not part of it, it usually has a useless tendency to it. If I'm up here talking and God's not involved in this, it's useless because I can't give you nothing. I have nothing to offer you of me because I'll leave you thirsty and I'll leave you hungry. But I can assure you what God has through someone like me. And yes, I'm the most unlikely suspect if you ever heard my story. And so I want to just take and shift the mood and put this whole thing in the hands of Jesus. Because if he's not leading this tonight, guys, we're not going to get nowhere, okay? Gracious Father, I just come to you, and God, I just ask you one thing. God, I just ask that your will be done. God, I ask that this powerful tool that you have accessible through your toolbox, God, I pray, God, that you just, there's revelation in it. God, I pray that you just reveal the power of it. I pray that you reveal, God, in an intimate, individual way, God, to each person that's in here, how it applies to their life, how it applies to them right now. And God, I just pray that you speak to us through me, God. And I pray, Father, that you anoint me and hide me behind the cross, God, because without your words, Father, it's useless, it's pointless, and it's empty. But God, when we receive you, God, we are filled, we are empowered, and we have hope. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about walking in the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but man, I tell you what, God did something pretty powerful last week. Had several people give their life, had several recommitments to the Lord. And before we get started, I want to, hang on a second. I'm not perfect. I better set this timer. It'll be 10 o'clock before we get out here. I want to make sure that Jolene, where you at? Sister Jolene pointed this out to me, and hey, this is the power of having a team, because we're only as good as our team is, I can tell you that. And she pointed this out to me, and it's so important, and I want to share this, is that we're going through a process of being delivered. We're going through a process of finding freedom and walking in freedom in Christ. But listen, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted. It doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with temptation. And don't get discouraged if you deal with temptation. It doesn't mean that you're on the wrong path. You're going to deal with temptation. You're going to deal with it every day. Don't think because you either rededicated your life or you may have received it for the first time or you're just trying to strengthen your walk with God that all of a sudden these crazy thoughts come in your mind and you're tempted to do this and that to the old self or whatever it may be, that takes away from your walk with Christ. It doesn't. It says that we have the ability to capture every thought. We do have the ability and the authority to capture that thought, and what we do with that thought, that's what changes us. So I just don't want anybody to get discouraged. If you left last week and you went into the work week and you went into Monday and Tuesday and all of a sudden these old emotions come up and you went to thinking about this or thinking about that and you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't get anywhere, and that's a lie from the enemy. Because if you're still here, that means you're growing. All right. I can assure you everybody in here has grown from week one because you're still here. You're still hungry. There's something here that you know you want, and you may not be able to put your finger on it just yet, but you're going to, okay? I just don't want anybody to get discouraged. I don't want the enemy to be able to come in and take anything away from anybody of something that God's doing, because he's trying to deceive you through the aspect of temptation and sin and all of these things, and he uses the word against you to make you believe, because you're not perfect, that you're not doing it right, and that's wrong, because none of us are perfect. So I just want y'all to, I just want to encourage y'all to keep moving forward, keep pressing in, keep listening, keep studying, keep applying this stuff day in and day out. And listen, when you fall down, get back up. And listen, it doesn't change the love of the Father. The love of the Father is called agape, and it means it's a perfect love. He loves us in a condition that we can't even love our own children. And I know when my kids mess up, it never changes my love for them. How much more can God love us when we mess up? So don't ever get discouraged, okay? All right. I'm going to show y'all something really neat. Look at here. Yep, that's a magnet. Y'all see that? That way I don't have to take the lid off. Okay, so we are talking about fasting. It's week 4. We're at the halfway point. You're about done with this thing, but you're not about done with this thing. So we're in week 4, and week 1 we talked about how to encounter God, what an encounter with God looks like. Week 2 we talked about alignment. We got a little deeper last week and we talked about walking in the Spirit. We don't want to just talk about the things and teach on the things that we need to do this thing called walking in the Spirit, to do this thing called alignment, to do this thing encountering God. We want to equip you also. We also want to give you the necessary tools. One of the greatest, I know God has a toolbox. I know He does. Because if He didn't have tools in His toolbox for me to use, I'd be annihilated. But I know He has a toolbox, and one of His greatest tools in this toolbox of weaponry is fasting. And what I want to do in this session is I want to simplify it. I want to take and make you understand the purpose and the power of fasting. And then I want you to leave here knowing that no matter where you're at health-wise, no matter where you're at social-wise, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, if you're just received Jesus or you've been walking for 50 years, I want you to know that there is a fast for you and that this is powerful and it's applicable to every portion of our life, and it's for everybody in here, okay? That's what I want to do. So what is a fast? In its purest form, take the spirituality out of it. We're just talking about the word fast right now. It in its purest form, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specific period. So it's just removing food from a specific exact time or over a period of time or whatever it may be. Here's where the spiritual side comes in. It says the spiritual discipline of fasting combined with prayer. I can't teach any more if you do not get that right now. It has to be combined with prayer, because fasting without prayer is dieting. That's it. That's all it is. But fasting paired with prayer, it can move mountains. So it says it's available to strengthen your spirit, to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. Fasting without prayer is just dieting or starving yourself. And nobody in here wants to do that. I know I don't. It shows. So first fill in the blank. Let's dig through this, guys. Prayer is connecting to God, and fasting is disconnecting from the world. I want to stop there just for a second. We really need to understand and soak this in. So fasting is disconnecting from something that's pleasing to the flesh. It's disconnecting from the world. And we're going to go over the 4 different types, but it's removing something in our life and replacing it with something. Okay? If you removed the water out of your house that you drink and replaced it with vinegar, that wouldn't be very good, right? If you replaced the water in your house with bleach, it'd smell clean, but it wouldn't be very good. See, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to replace something with something that's above and beyond, more powerful than what we currently are doing, what we're currently intaking. So what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to take a fleshly aspect out and we're wanting to replace it with a spiritual aspect. So think about this. Fasting is removing something that temporarily feeds us, that temporarily quenches our thirst, and replacing it with something that has eternal bread and eternal water. Now that's powerful. I don't know about you, but I don't want to replace water with bleach. So I don't want to replace something that's in my life or as food or whatever it may be with something that's going to weaken me. That's the power of fasting with prayer, is fasting with the proper power source moves mountains. That's how simple prayer and fasting is. It's removing something that's pleasing to our flesh, inserting something that's stronger than us in prayer and relationship with God, and then that's all we have to do. That's our part. God does the rest. God moves the mountain. That's the simplicity of prayer and fasting. And now I'm fixing to show you that it's for everybody. Four kinds of fast. Number one, the complete fast. The complete fast is going without food for a definite period. The duration can be 1 or more days. Look in Judges 20 and 26. It says, then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day. There's a definite period. They chose to fast that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. They set a specific time and they completely fasted for that day. That means they didn't intake nothing. So the complete fast, biblical complete fast, were held for a day, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, and even 40 days. The absolute fast is going without food or water, and it should be short. Your body was designed to have food and water. In the Bible, there was a couple of absolute fasts for 40 days. That was Jesus did it in the desert. Moses did it. Listen, if you feel a spirit calling you to go into a 40-day absolute complete fast, you better test that spirit. Because Jesus walked on water, and I don't think we should try it. Because I know what happens if I try to walk on water. I'm going to the bottom. Okay? There's things that Jesus did that we're not supposed to be doing. Now, I'm not saying that God won't call you to a 40-day fast. But if he does, you best know that it is Jesus Christ calling you to a 40-day fast, because it's almost impossible for the human body to do that. So if you leave here and you're like, shoot, boy, I got there 40 days, no food, no water, I'm going to be looking good when I get through with this joker. I'm going to be close to the Lord. You might be a little closer to the Lord than you want to be. You might be walking on streets of gold. So be careful what you ask for in that fast now. Moses' 40-day fast would kill anyone without supernatural intervention. So be sure to test the spirit that tries to talk you into a 40-day fast without water, because normally it is physically impossible. And it really is. And I'm being serious. God's never called me to it, I can assure. There ain't even been a tricky spirit try to call me to it. Because I ain't even asked about it. I said, no, hang on a second. 40 days, wow. Those shows where people go all that time without eating, no, not for me. Mm-mm. Wow, number two, the selective fast. So the selective fast includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. There's a couple of them in the Bible, John the Baptist and Daniel. There's a Daniel fast, but selective fasts are ideal for people who are hypoglycemia or have health issues. I told you that I was going to show you that fasting is for everybody. We've already covered two. There's one that Jesus did for all of you super spiritual people. Now we're at the second one called the selective fast. And this, hey, isn't it cool how God created fasts so we can customize it to our lifestyle? I mean, that's pretty neat that God knew we were going to deal with health issues a long time ago, but he still wanted us to have this tool in the toolbox. He still wanted us to be able to access it, so he said, hey, well, hang on. Select a fast. If you have health issues, you can omit this or not omit this or whatever it may be. That's the great thing about fasting, is that it can be customized to our life so that we can experience the power of fasting, but yet not put our health in danger. And that's a loving God right there. It says, I want you to experience me, and I want you to, and that's just how I look at this. When I look at this, as the love of Christ that says, I know I love my children so much, I know there's going to need to be some different types so they can have that connection with me, but they're not harmed, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I want to make sure everyone has the opportunity and the availability to experience me in a deeper way through fasting. It's a very powerful thing to think about. Number three, a partial fast. A partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. So a partial fast to me is probably one of the most common. So like just say sugar. Just say, you know, I'm not going to eat sugar for X amount of days. That's a partial fast. Or I know some people that say, I'm not going to eat meat. But listen, okay, you cannot fast cauliflower and bean sprouts if you hate cauliflower and bean sprouts. It doesn't work like that, okay? You can't say, you know what, I'm gonna fast my mother-in-law for the next 2 weeks. That's not a partial fast, okay? God, I promise. So like me, I truly believe that cauliflower is grown and raised in the valley of hell. And right beside it are bean sprouts. I hate them. So for me to fast cauliflower, well, that's just a normal day for me. Because I refuse with everything. I'd rather die. I'd be able to do, and no, there's no way. I'd be able to pull off a 40-day fast before I could eat cauliflower. And you ain't going to sneak it into your mashed potatoes and rice neither, because I know. You're not going to fool me. I know what potatoes taste like. And I know what cauliflower tastes like. You're not tricking me. So on a partial fast, when you fast something partial, it's got to actually be something that you like. Okay? So like meat, like that's a tough one for me, because I don't think any meal, desserts, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever, should be eat without meat. There should be meat. So that's something that may be a partial fast for me. My wife could care less if she ever eat meat again, but I dare you to try to take sugar away from her for a long time. She will cut you. She'll cut you. So you see where I'm going. So a partial fast, and the other thing about a partial fast is, in this fast coming in, we're going to really encourage y'all in the second half to do this moving forward. But beyond that, a partial fast is truly something powerful that you can add into a weekly deal for the rest of your life. Say it's Tuesday, whatever, just for an example, say I'm going to fast Tuesday at lunch because that's a time that I can, and I'm going to spend every Tuesday, I'm not going to eat lunch, and every Tuesday I'm going to spend extra time in the Word. What it does is it connects you back to Christ. It's kind of like that, you know, you get hit hard Sunday and then with church, and then we got the grows on Wednesday, and then all of a sudden you get into the middle of the week and it's like, oh, boom. It just pushes us that connectivity back to Christ. So a weekly fast, a partial fast every week, is extremely powerful as a lifestyle, because it brings us and it connects us to Christ. And number four, the last one, is a soul fast. You young people, get your pens ready. I know this is going to sting y'all. A soul fast is based around a theme in your life or specific situation. This can be fasting something other than food to remind you of the things that need to be tempered or removed from your life. For example, social media, electronic devices, sleeping in, TV, etc. Again, God said, you know what? Maybe they can't fast food. Maybe they barely get it as it is. So we're fast something else. Maybe it be electronic. Because I'm going to tell you what my biggest one is. Netflix. My lunchtime at work, that's my time. And I don't even answer my wife's phone calls. I mean, I'm in a meeting. I mean, you know, but I'm about to fast over that. I can tell you already. I'm going to fast my wife's phone calls at lunch. Thank you, Lord. That was the Lord. That was Spirit. Okay. I see you, Lisa. But I love Netflix at lunch. And I remember the first time God said, hey, he said, because I love watching cooking shows, all right? And I like watching cop shows. And it's my time to disconnect from my job and my workers and everything else. And I love that time of God. And then I remember the first time God called me and he said, I want you to disconnect from this, from Netflix. I was like, oh, I did. I was like, but test that spirit. And my favorite show, and this is no joke, and it may have been coincidence, and it may have just been God being God. My favorite show went off that I watched. I was devastated. But I remember doing it, and God said, I remember doing it, and I said, you know what, Justin? I said, you'll disconnect from the world for you. You'll disconnect your guys from you. You won't even answer your wife's phone calls for you. What about God? And I tell you what, that was probably one of the strongest fasts I ever did was when I just took that hour section out of my life and turned off my favorite show. And during that time, I read the Word of God and I began to pray. And I'm going to tell you what it did for my life. That very fast is what ignited my passion for the Word of God. It's what ignited my passion to devour the Word daily, because I used to just read it like a book because I was taught to read it because my dad said read the Bible. That time during that fasting, God ignited something in me to give me this hunger to begin to read it like an instruction book for my life. And it has completely changed my walk. It has completely changed my life. It has completely changed my ministry. It's changed everything about me. And it is just this desire to devour God's Word. And God showed me in that. He said, see the power when you disconnect from me and not so much you. And it changed my life. We got to get going. What does fasting do for believers? What does fasting do for believers? Jesus modeled and taught believers a lifestyle of fasting. So Jesus is our example. Jesus is going to ask us to do something that he hasn't already done. I hope y'all have seen that trend in the Bible. And so look at these scriptures. Matthew 4:2 says, after he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And hey, Jesus did it in the desert. Now think about that. And in Matthew 6:5-16, it says, when you pray and when you fast. Hey, if God's our example and we're to be Christians, which means Christ-like, and if Jesus fasted and if it's good enough for him, I think it's something that we need to implement in our life. He doesn't ask if we want to, if we find to. He says, when we pray and when we fast. So it's more of a commandment than anything. I mean, it's not in the Ten Commandments, but it's more of Jesus saying, hey, this is available for you, and I want you to have victory, and I want you to have power, and I want to draw you close to me. He says, so do this. So it's when you pray and when you fast. So what does fasting do? Number one, it eliminates confusion and brings clarity. It eliminates confusion and brings clarity. I don't know about you, man, but there's some things in my life right now that I'm confused about. There's some questions that I'm asking God for some answers that I don't have the answers to. And I can't get the answer from somebody else because it has to be a God thing. So we're not asking y'all to fast on your own. I'm entering into this thing with you. Our whole entire team is, because there are some things in here and outside of here that I'm confused about, that I need clarity on. And the only way that's going to come is through prayer and fasting. It says fasting gets us here. Listen to this, guys. And I was just talking about this. Fasting gets us what we want, what we are thinking, and what we are feeling out of the way, so that we can tune in and clearly hear what God's saying. God has to get us out of the way a lot of the time so God can speak to us. I know the things that I'm seeking for right now to be clarified in my life. The reason I haven't heard from him is because somehow I'm in God's way. So I'm going to have to disconnect from something and implement more Jesus into my life so God will speak to me in these areas. Because I need clarity on these things. Because if I go with what Justin wants to do, it's going to be a mess. But if I slow down a little bit and I'll lean into this amazing, powerful tool that God has given us in fasting, all right, and I'll remove that thing that pleases my flesh and I will insert that thing that strengthens my spirit, I know God will show up because his word says he will. Now, when, I don't know. But I'm never going to get to that point if I don't start. I'm never going to get to that point if I don't give God the opportunity to move through me through his tools. Number two, removes obstacles. See, Satan forms obstacles to God's plan in our life. If you study the Daniel fast, Daniel 10 and 3 is in the 12th and 14th verse. If you study that, the archangel was trying to get to Daniel. He was fighting like crazy to get to Daniel. What did Daniel do? Daniel waited patiently. He fought, man. He stayed and he prayed for 21 days and he waited on the Lord. And the angel showed up and he said, I've been up there battling that enemy. He said, man, they met me on the way down here and I have been battling, trying to get here. The enemy is going to bring opposition in your life because he knows the power of connectivity when God's children begins to hear from the Lord, or when God's children begins to get closer. And he knows that fasting is one of the most powerful tools there are. So he's going to tell you, no, you can't go that long without social media. You won't know what's going on in your friend's life, and you won't know what's going on over here, and you won't know what's going on over there. Or there's no way that you can go that time frame without sugar. There's no way you can skip that meal. How are you going to make it? How are you going to not? That's your time, Justin, during lunch for Netflix and your lunches. That's your time. That's not for you. You give God all this other time. That's your time. That's the enemy throwing obstacles in my way to try to keep me from getting to where God's calling me to go. So be prepared for that. But what fasting does is, when we pair it with prayer and those obstacles come, here's the cool thing about prayer and fasting is you see God move and work in the fast when you're fasting for something. So you have these obstacles and you say, no, I recognize that enemy. I recognize what you're trying to do. I'm going to lean into this thing and I'm going to skip that. I'm going to skip that meal that I made a commitment to God, and I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to tell you what you do in that time is you grow. Instantly you grow and you gain ground and you gain power. So you get to see God strengthen you right there, right then in the fast while you're fasting for whatever you're fasting for. So it's not that God's calling you to do all of this thing just for result at the end. God shows you all the way through a fast his power, because he will empower you to do the fast that you've set forth to do through him if you'll let him. And when you do that, the whole journey is what's the great thing about it. Because when you get to the end of it most of the time and you get the answer, you're like, oh, okay. What's powerful is when you get to look back and you see where God delivered you here and God empowered you here and God did this here and God did this here. That's the power, is the journey. Number three, strengthens the spirit and weakens the flesh. We just talked about this. As diet and exercise bring strength and health to the body, so fasting and prayer strengthens and brings health to the spirit. Hey, this is ideal for reverse economics. So what you're saying is that you want me to remove something that strengthens my flesh so I can get stronger? That don't make no sense. You want me to remove something that fuels my body to get throughout my day so that I can be stronger. How does that work? Because God works in reverse economics. God's saying, when you're weak, I'm strong. So what I want you to do is I'm going to strengthen your spirit. How am I going to strengthen your spirit? I'm going to weaken your flesh, because like we talked about that week of alignment, we know what that guy flesh does. He's a booger. He'll get you in all kinds of trouble. He'll take you down roads that you don't want to go. He'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you can afford. And God said, you know what? Let's get him out of the way. Let's insert and let's strengthen this spirit, because I want this spirit up here, number one, leading. That's what fasting does. Because when your flesh gets weak, I'm telling you, I fast all the time. I know, because if I didn't have Jesus, I couldn't make it. And you're in there, and one of the things that I fast a lot is dinner, and my kids are eating, my wife's eating, I'm watching a cooking show on TV. Why do I do that? I got to start watching something else on TV. But I'll be watching some cooking show, and then there's food everywhere, and my flesh is like, oh, man, you got a refrigerator full of food, Justin, that you cooked? And I can tell you, there's been times that I've stumbled, and I've got up, and I fed the flesh, and I'm going to tell you, when I got through, I felt the conviction, and I said, but the times that I fight through that, the times that I disconnect and talk to God through that and pray and worship God through that, I can tell you the next day when I get up, I am strengthened. It's awesome. But I want you to know I have failed a bunch. But the next day, just like every day is new in Christ, and we get another chance, and the old is gone and the new is present, and God said, all right, here we go. You have another opportunity today. And I can tell you, the triumphs over the flesh through the strength of my spirit, I'll take that any day than pleasing my flesh for just a little bit, because it's just destruction. And that's the reverse economics of this thing. That's the reverse economics of what God's saying. He's saying, just let that weed get flesh, and I'm going to strengthen that spirit, and I'll show you strength. Number four, it softens the soil of our heart. Any gardeners in here? Anybody raise a garden? Anybody? Andrew, the only person who raised a garden. No, we got some more. There we go. Raise your hands up. Who does? How hard is it to plant gardens in old hard clay? You can't do it. Throw seed out there on hard clay. It won't grow. It will not grow. You got to till that soil up. But you get that soil tilled up and you get them seeds planted deep where those roots can get down there deep, then you can get a good harvest and you can get a good production of your plants. So that's what fasting does, is it softens the soil of our heart so we can receive what God's trying to tell us. That's powerful. I told you I was going to show you the power of fasting. So you mean to tell me that fasting strengthens my spirit? It softens the soil of my heart. It removes obstacles. It eliminates confusion and brings clarity. That is power. That's what this one tool can do. Is there anybody in here that don't want this power accessible to their life? Anybody not want it? Is there anybody in here who wants this? Okay, well, then this is for you. And then look at number five. This is the one everybody's been waiting on. It brings results. It brings results. Fasting brings results. I can show you in the Bible where God says only some of these things come through prayer and fasting. Fasting brings results. If you're stuck in an area of your life and you're needing a breakthrough, fasting brings results, I promise. I've lived it. I see it. I know. I've seen when I didn't pray and fast the results, and I've seen me when I do pray and fast, and I've seen the results, and it's just powerful. We're all looking for this. So remember, prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. So prayer plus fasting equals results. So the combination of prayer and fasting should bring results. Listen, it is important as we move forward in this thing. Zane, come on up. Are you? Okay. As we move forward, heading into this retreat, listen, I promise this is one of the most important tools that you'll possess moving into this. Hey, if you will take this tool and apply it to your life, I promise that you'll see God move in areas of your life if you apply it right. And I want to end with this, and then we'll go to break. It is not about how hard the fast is. It is about the condition of the heart. Okay? If it was about how hard and difficult the fast was, that would be about us. Fasting is about the condition of heart we enter into. So the person that's fasting one meal a week, but is truly praying and truly spending time with God in that meal a week or whatever it is, versus that one that says, you know what, I'm going to do this 21-day fast. I'm going to do the Daniel fast. I'm going to go 21 days and I'm only going to, and has a poor attitude about it and tells everybody the suffering and the pain that they're going through. I can assure you the one that's doing it with the right condition of heart will see God move way quicker than the other one. Because that's what God's about, is the condition of our heart. He wants us to fast, not because we have to, because we get to. God doesn't want us to open his toolbox because we have to. It's because we get to, so we can experience him even more. Condition of heart. I'm going to turn you over to Liz, and we'll do the next section. That's break.
I give Justin a warm applause. That was an amazing breakdown. I wanted to share something with you. Me and Whitney and some of the girls, we do this. There's nothing wrong with sharing your fast with someone that knows you and someone that's going to push you to be as great as you are. Accountability is always great. What we do is I'll send her my fast. She sends me her fast. We pray for each other and we keep each other accountable. Hey, how are you doing? There's nothing wrong with having accountability with someone around you. So I wanted to share that. You have a 10-minute break. Table host, bring me your surveys up here. I'll be waiting for you. All right. See you in a minute.
Get a plate? Did everybody get a plate? Yeah? Can y'all hear me? All right, y'all quit acting like you like each other. I know we're talking about fasting and, you know, we put a bunch of desserts and stuff out there in front of you. You're welcome. You're welcome. So the next part we're fixing to go into is a very informative part. It's called 7 Basic Steps for Effective Fasting and Prayer. This right here is really going to help you organize what we're going to do. But if anybody forgot their book tonight and needs the handout on that, will you raise your hand? One right here, Miss Lisa. And was there another one over here? Who else needed? Karen, was there one at your table? Y'all need one? And right there at Karen's table. Anybody else? Well, I tell you what, that Miss Lisa, she takes care of us now. If y'all were dependent upon me to do that stuff, y'all'd have to just write it on that table and cloth and cut it out and take it home with you. So we're in Appendix C, which is in the back. Is everybody there? Okay. Let me set my timer for an hour and a half. Come on. I like it. Okay. Let me get that. All right. 7 basic steps for effective fasting and prayer. Hey, this is very important because one of the things that I've learned, and I've learned this through my wife, is that there is a certain aspect of organization, a big aspect of organization, that's spiritual. I played a lot of football in high school, and we always had a game plan. We spent a whole week practicing a game plan leading into a game, and we knew what defense that we were going to run and what calls we were going to do, and we knew what form of the offense we were going to do. And so we had a game plan. Well, this is the same application. So we're fixing to lay out here a 7 basic steps that is a very powerful game plan to make you and create even more of an opportunity for success in fasting. Okay, so let's dig into this. Step 1, set your objective. If you don't know why you're fasting, you won't continue to fast. If you just jump out there tomorrow and say, all right, I'm going to cut all my sugar out and I'm just going to thing and wait till God shows up, but you don't know what your objective is, you're not going to have much success, because without an objective, you can't track anything. So set an objective, but set an objective that lines up with the will of God. Don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to pray and fast for $1 million. God ain't trying to give you $1 million. If God wants you to have $1 million, he'll take care of that. All right, set your objective to, your objective in fasting should draw you closer to Christ. Your objective in fasting should eliminate obstacles in your life so you can see clearly what God is speaking to you. It's answering questions that are answering and removing obstacles in your life for clarity that draws you closer to Christ. Not for clarity where you can be more successful for you. Remember, this is about everything that we do has to point back to Jesus. If we're not doing it for Jesus and we're doing it for our own self-gain, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. It has to point back to Jesus. So your objective has to be like, I don't need to fast that my mother-in-law moves to another state. I love her, but you know, because what God wants me to do is love her instead of help her move to Alaska. So set your objective, okay? Once you have your objective set, and I wouldn't just go snatching out of the air for your objective, but I'd be willing to bet that most everybody in here has a pretty good idea within them the things they're seeking from God. And just whatever your objective is, I don't want to use this word, and make it doable. Not that there's nothing God can handle, but don't set an objective that doesn't set you up for failure, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to set an objective for me to go run the Boston Marathon in 2 months. It ain't going to happen. It's not, I mean, God's good, but let's be honest. I'm not fishing to go run a 26-mile marathon in 2 months. I ain't quite built for it. Now, if it's like a 40-yard dash, I'm in. As long as there's water at the end of it and maybe a cookie. So set your objective, but seriously, set an objective that's obtainable. Not attainable in the sense that you can do it, because we want to set goals that challenge us physically so that spiritually we're strengthened, that we can truly see what God can do. But don't set an unrealistic objective in your life that's gonna set you up for failure. And if your objective is in line with God's will, it won't set you up for failure. God's will is not for me to go run a marathon. I promise. I know. It's just, I mean, no, it's not. It's God's will for me is not to ship off to some foreign country and go to work for this or that. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I'm not trying to put a leash and saying God can't, you know, meet your needs and God can't do anything, but we still have to be realistic and set an objective that lines up with God's will that's doable. Number two, make your commitment. This goes hand in hand to me with set your objective. You got to make your commitment, but make a doable commitment. Don't commit to a 40-day absolute fast if you've never fasted before. Don't commit to a 21-day Daniel fast if you've never fasted before. You're setting yourself up for failure. I'm just having to be real with you, because if you've never fasted before and you walk into a 21-day Daniel fast, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. You got to set goals and start, because remember, this is not about us. This is about God. It's just about conditioning ourselves to take some of us out and insert God, because when we insert a little bit of God and remove some of us, a whole lot can happen. So don't go try to take all of this big, huge leap and this big, huge step if God hasn't called you to, and make a commitment that you can't live up to. Don't set yourself up for failure. So before you fast, decide the following up front. How long will you fast? Is it going to be one meal, one day, one or more weeks, 40 days, whatever? Here it is. It says, beginners should start slowly, building up to longer fast. So what type of fast is God directing you to undertake? Study the fast that we talked to. If you look at the, there's an amazing resource. You don't have to flip to it right now. In Appendix C, it's called Tools and Effective Fasting and Prayer. It goes over the four kinds. It goes over the abuse of fasting. It's a great resource for you to set this. I know my wife, when she fasts, so this is one of the things that she does. And it helps her tremendously, and it helps me. I don't do it to this extent, but like she'll write her fast out. She types it out. She puts it on her cell phone case. She tapes it in her car. She puts these notes like on her mirror at the house, because when she wakes up, she wants to be reminded of what her objective is. She wants to be reminded of what she's doing, of what her goal is. She is organizing this thing, and she is setting her objective. She has made her commitment, and now she is writing it out. She types it out. I scribble mine on the back of a box or something. I put mine in the pantry. I'm always going to sit in there. That was a joke. It's okay if y'all laugh at me. It's all right, I promise. So, but what it is she sees it. And I'm going to tell you what has happened is I watched her do this. And now I'll walk in there and see what she's fasting, and it'll remind me of what I'm doing. So be organized. It's for some of us can just set our mind and do it and never blink of eye, but some of us need to really be structured and set up a schedule like she does, and that's powerful. When you wake up and you're brushing your teeth in the morning and you see in the mirror, don't fast brushing your teeth. Brush your teeth. Or I'm fasting breakfast, I better not, whatever it may be. So that's, anyway, make your commitment. And then determine and write down the details of your fast. Identify what you're fasting specifically and what your fast will look like each day. What physical or social activities you will restrict. And how much time each day you will devote to prayer and God's word. Listen, guys, this is so important. If we don't pair the prayer time with the fasting, we're just dieting. Set a time up with God. When we talked about how to encounter God, one of the things that we talked about was set a time and set a place. Set a time for God. We can set time for appointments. We can set time for everything else in our life. Set a time for God and show up consistently, and He'll show up. But when you make that commitment, you're not just making that commitment to remove that thing from your life, but you're also making a commitment to spend time in prayer. So make that commitment and spend that time in prayer. And basically, I used to cowboy all the time. I used to chase cows. I loved it. And one of the things that we used to catch wild cows in the pasture is one of my favorite things ever to do. And it was insane because you'd just be busting out across this pasture wide up. I used to not be this big, so don't feel sorry for the horse. But you just, and we would say, we would always say, just pitch your reins to your horse. And what it does is it gives him his head so he can run faster. You have to pitch the reins to God. You have to. You can't, a horse wears a bridle in his mouth, and when you pull him back, it stops him, it slows him down. It talks about it in the Bible. You got to pitch the reins to God. When you begin to pray and fast together, what you do is you pitch the reins to God. And you say, here, you run this thing. And it gives God the ability, because we talked about a lot, that we have the ability to hinder what God's doing in our life when we're in the way. But when we pitch the reins to God and God can do what only God can do, it's powerful. Number step three, prepare yourself spiritually. The very foundation of fasting and prayer is repentance. Unconfessed sin can hinder your prayers. Here are several things you can do to prepare your heart. This very first one I'll talk about, remember that God is your Father and He loves you. Listen, know that this thing that we're doing, it's about love. All right? God loves you and He wants you to succeed in this. And if you fail and you get knocked down, get back up and keep going. Don't let that derail you. But know that God loves you in this thing. And the reason that we're teaching on it, the reason we're spending a whole entire session on fasting, is because we know the power of it. But just remember that. Here's a list of several things you can do to prepare your heart. You can confess your sins. Confess every sin that the Holy Spirit calls you in remembrance of God's forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Make restitution as the Holy Spirit leads you. Hey, when you begin to pray and fast and God begins to speak to your heart, respond. That doesn't mean that you have to get on a mountaintop and tell everybody in the world everything wrong you've ever done in your entire life. That's not what that's talking about. Because you got to remember, your past is your past. God's concerned about your future. But if God calls you to seek forgiveness or forgive somebody or tell someone, hey, I wronged you in this area and I ask you forgiveness, hey, respond to the notion of the Holy Spirit when he does, because when you go and ask someone for forgiveness, that ain't for them. That's for you. When you forgive somebody, that's for you. It frees you up. You can't control what the other person does. It frees you up. So be real mindful to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And hey, and if you have a question about that, reach out to one of us or somebody you trust spiritually to help you walk through that. Remember, we don't do life alone. Don't do this by yourself. And you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You can surrender your life fully to Christ. Meditate on the attributes of God. You can begin your time of fasting and prayer with an expecting heart. And here, do not underestimate spiritual opposition. Satan sometimes intensifies a natural battle between body and spirit. We talked about this a while ago. We're not going to keep harping on it. But expect, listen, when you're walking with Christ and you're serving God, expect obstacles in your life, because the enemy does not want you to understand and receive the power that God has for you. I promise you, though, guys, anything good is worth working for. Even more so for things that are great and perfected. And God has things that are great and perfected for us. It is worth working for, I promise. I promise. Step four, prepare yourself physically. We just talked about this a while ago. Prepare yourself. Remember, if you never fasted before, don't go jump into a 40-day fast all of a sudden thinking that you're going to change the world. All right? Prepare yourself physically. Ease into it. All right? So if you're, just say you're going to remove meat from your diet, don't all of a sudden just go vegan or vegetarian all of a sudden. You'll collapse. I would. Take a meal here and ease into it. Remember, condition of heart. It's not about how tough it is on us. It's the condition of our heart in the process. Remember, it's a journey. Fasting isn't something we want you to do one time. It's something we want you to make part of your everyday life, of a weekly thing. And this is the training session for that. So if you never fasted before, if you haven't fasted in a long time, don't jump into something and make yourself sick. Start off, so don't set yourself up for failure. Set yourself up for success. Step five, put yourself on a schedule. Customize this to your successful, to your schedule, to your success, but stick to this. Talked about it a while ago. My wife does a great job out of it. Whether it be in the morning, the noon, and the evening. And this schedule should not only just be for your fasting, but the schedule should also be for your, especially for your prayer. Whenever you set this, if you are going to go into this with an expecting heart and you expect God to do something, then you have to expect something out of yourself too. You have to expect that God's going to do what he's going to do, but you also have to hold yourself to a level of expectation to do your part, okay? And then number six, end your fast gradually. If you're fasting foods or certain food groups, be careful not to return to your normal diet immediately. Gradually introduce various types of food back into your diet. Give your body time to get used to foods that you have not eaten for some time. Fasting is not a bad thing. Fasting is not sitting here for us to have to suffer. Fasting is not something so that we're without. Fasting is so that we can remove something from our life, fill it with the presence of God through power, through prayer and worship, and see God move in our life. To me, that's pretty exciting, that it's available to us all. We can customize it to our life. And it's not about what we can do, but it's about what God's already done for us. And we get to experience that through fasting. And then number seven, hey, expect results. Don't fast just to fast. Fast and pray with great expectations. I'm going to start a fast tomorrow, and I can tell you I'm expecting God to show up big because I've seen him do it before. But it's going to take some of Justin to do his part. It's going to take some of whoever. It's going to take this class to do their part so the expectation of this class can be met through Christ. And that's just the truth. God has anointed and ordained and appointed every one of y'all to be in here tonight. And he's also calling us all to go into a fast because there's not a person in this room tonight that God does not want to get closer to. There's not a person in this room tonight that God does not want you to draw closer to him. Prayer and fasting does it. So what do you say? Are y'all in on this? Is there some clarity to fasting? I mean, is there... Before we go into this next section that y'all are going to do at your table, is there any questions? I wanted to take just a second. If you have any questions that I can clear up, I really wanted to make this very, just talk about the simplicity of it, the power of it, and showing it's available for everybody and show how powerful it is. And I hope I've done that tonight, but does anybody have a question? Yes, ma'am. Do what now? Very good question. You bet. Do it all the time. So a lot of times, you know, you may fast, a meal, and then you may fast social media for a certain time. But yes, you can do more than one fast at a time. It's a great question. Great question. Anybody else? Wow. One question? I figured I'd have you all confused. Okay. So this next part, all right, we're going to take, what time is it? 7:30? Somebody, Papa, okay. We're going to take about 20 minutes, okay, this next part, 25 minutes, and go over and, hey, we're going to give y'all time at your table to write this thing out, all right? Spend some time. We're going to play, Chris, if you will. Chris is going to play a little music. All right, spend some time and write this thing out. You know what God's speaking to you. I know God's been speaking to you through this teaching. You know that. You know what you're fasting for. You know what you're looking for in your life. You know the things that the answers that you're looking for are God, or maybe it's a breakthrough here. Maybe you may be fasting for a job. You may be fasting for somebody else. All right? You may be fasting for a spouse, or you may be fasting for a family member. I don't know what it is, but you and God do. So take the next 25, 30 minutes and let's do this and write it out. And hey, I'll come back. We'll come back in 25 minutes.
I really like seeing all the discussion we got going on. I really appreciate the engagement. Hopefully it's mostly relevant, yeah. So anyway, no, I just want to take a few moments, and we do encourage, if you still are in discussion, to keep that up. You know, we're not trying to, you know, kick everybody out just yet. But one thing we do want to encourage as we start closing this off, you know, kind of like what we talked about was through this, if you're just doing a fast just to give up food and nothing else, then you're just starving yourself, right? You're on a diet, you know, make the most of it, right? And I'd take that a step further, you know, pray to God about your fast. You know, ask God to give you strength to withhold from whatever it is that you're fasting, right? It's okay to say, you know, part of the act in this is fasting whatever it is that you feel called, that the Spirit's moving you to give up. But talk to God about that and say, God, give me strength to make this through. I'm doing this to further pursue you, right? So don't be afraid to do that. Reach out to your table host, like Liz said. Reach out to others that are in your group or a spiritual leader and say, hey, this is what I'm committing to do. Can you do this with me? It's okay to do that. We won't do life alone, right? Not this church, especially not in this class either, right? One other thing I want to add too, whenever I did my fast for this class, you know, a bunch of people working here, you're with families or whatnot. So if you're going to do this fast, it's very likely that you're going to have an encounter of some kind with a coworker, a family member, and Lord knows that every single time you try to do a fast, what happens? All of a sudden, free food starts showing up. And it just so happens to be your favorite that day, right? So what do you do in that situation, right? When rubber meets the road, I mean, you just say, you know, no, I'm not hungry, you know. Yeah, yeah. Are you going to lie about it? Lie about your fast? Come on, you know. You don't really want to do that. What I did for mine, just a suggestion, is, you know, some guys invited me to go to lunch with them. And, you know, I would not recommend going up to them and saying, well, lowly sinner, I'm going to do a fast this week. You know, if you're going to do that, you just say you go to Clawson or Harmony Hill or one of those other churches, okay? Not here, right? No, I'm kidding. You got friends that go there. They're great, okay? Well, we'll pray for them. One thing I would suggest, though, is, you know, for me, I just said, hey, no, I got some things I need to be working on, but, not today, right? Which what I was working on was actually my prayer time, my fasting and everything. I wasn't lying, you know, but I wasn't overtly coming out and saying, oh, this is what I'm doing, it's for my church. And, you know, you want to blast them with that, right? So, but after I said that, he said, really, what are you working on? Come on, man, it's lunchtime. You're usually going with us. So that point, you hit a crossroad, right? What are you going to say? You going to tell them the truth about what's going on, or are you going to kind of veer more into the obscure? At that point, I just said, look, we're doing this thing at our church. It's a fast, and all it is, man, is it's me saying, fasting something that I want for right now that I don't need all the time to remember what I do need all the time, right? That person that was talking to said, really, what? That's pretty cool, man. Like, so tell me, what are you giving up? What's going on? At that point, we had a very meaningful, relevant conversation. I haven't even worked with this guy for 4 years, and he still contacts me about once a month just to chat about stuff. What's going on in my life? What's going on in his? Right? I'm still working on him. But at that point, I'm not intrusive. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling how human I am and about what I need versus what I want right at that moment, right? So just be relatable to to the people you work around. And I guarantee you it's going to happen one way or another. It might not be a colleague. It might be your spouse that's not here at this class right now, right? You know, don't go pushing it and saying, oh, this is what we're doing and this is what you should be doing too and dragging them into it. Approach it lightly. Approach it as if this is what I'm doing and here's the reason why I need to do this, right? I need this tool in my life right now, right? Is that okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, cool. All right. I know we need to go. I know it's late. Thank you so much for coming. Let me pray for you real quick as we get on this week. Father God, we thank you for coming here. We thank you for you being here right now in this class. We thank you for the spirit-inspired teaching that Justin gave on fasting. God, we thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that was imparted upon us. And God, we claim it right now. We claim your words and your wisdom throughout our lives and on this topic, on this tool, this powerful tool that we're going to be applying in our lives this week, God. I pray that you give us strength. I pray that you give us perseverance. And above all, I pray that you give us revelation on what you want for our lives as we go through this fast, God. I pray that we use it for your glory, and we say it all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One last thing. Sorry, I almost forgot, or Whitney's going to chew me out if I don't bring it up. A few questions have come up about paying for the retreat, all right? The question came up is, when can I pay for the retreat? When's the due date, et cetera, et cetera? You can start paying right now. And what we asked especially is if you plan on going, hey, just throw in $5, $10 or something. Just say, hey, yeah, put my name on. I'll get the rest of the money in the coming weeks or week 8 or whatever the case might be, right? So just be sure you understand. You don't got to hold on to it and wait till week 8. Like, it's actually wouldn't be a bad idea to go pay a little bit at a time so that when week 8 comes, you don't owe that much, right? Okay, cool. All good? All right, thank you. I appreciate it.